a ticket to the Fast City, where the bells don't really ring. Getting off the plane, the cold air rushes like bullets through my brains.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections, a Thursday edition. Today's date is the 28th day of June 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and of course, great to have you here with me. As usual, lots of news, lots of things, lots of happenings in the world, lots of things to decipher and explain, and my take on them. Do a little rant today for y'all, and hopefully it'll be an enlightening one. Got a lot of issues that I'd like to bring up. One of them is about the disappearance of my friend and co-collaborator, Christopher Bolin. I have not heard from Christopher since the day of the trial. In fact, the night before the trial, he spoke to me. And since he was convicted, I have not spoken to him and do not know where he is and don't know if he's safe or if he's not safe, which is in itself very disquieting for both myself and Eric, because we were shocked to first find out that no one really put a lot of effort into fighting for him, and then I guess he saw the handwriting on the wall as well after his outing of Rahm Emanuel and Chertoff and the rest of it that we had done so much work on together. He was probably and rightly worried. Or something sinister has happened, and we don't know that either. So to speculate is really not fair to anybody, because we don't know. I am hoping that if Christopher does hear a file of the French Connection, that he at least finds a way, any way he can, to let me know he's okay, because my wife and myself are very worried about him. I want to make sure he's okay, and his children are okay, and Holly is okay. But that being said, the 28th is the end of the month, and seems like the banking establishment, the bad guys, are beginning to say that America is going to implode and the world is heading toward a disaster financially, which is something that I knew mathematically should have already happened. But see, when you've got a fiat currency system, ladies and gentlemen, you can pump up the system and disguise or hide or gloss over the underlying problems for quite a while. And secondly, America being a multi-trillion dollar economy, or it was, today it's not valued at what it once was, but it's able to sustain itself in a slow descent for a very long time. Doesn't mean that the direction of the country's descent has changed. In fact, it's probably speeding up, if anything. We're also being viewed around the world as an enemy to freedom, which is an interesting shift in the reputation of the country. However, you know, knowing what I know today, and knowing that for the last 100 years, every office in the American government has been controlled by people like Brandeis and Morgenthau and all the rest of their henchmen throughout the last century and then into this one, the reputation we garnered around the world was undeserved. And in fact, if you examine what we were actually doing around the world, our reputation should have been mud. We were financing Pol Pot. We were assisting Mao. We were giving our technology to the Soviets. We were aiding criminal regimes around the world. We were setting up death squads in Central America. We were undermining governments. We were murdering duly elected representatives. We were stealing natural resources from countries. We were minimizing the value of human life in resource-rich nations. Involved in murder and plunder of every type and every description. So the idea that the world would have at any time seen America in a positive light is, well, it's just a fraud. But because these people have been so successful at lying to the public about our reputation around the world, and in fact, getting that same idea out into the foreigners' minds and the foreigners' belief systems is amazing to me, but it shows you how powerful the media can be. They have been able successfully to lie the European public for generations into thinking that we were a very gracious country of altruistic, honest, freedom-loving humans. When, you know, in the same breath, they were stealing and robbing everybody blind. Shame that. Is there a country left in the Western world that is not bought and paid for? None that I can find. There are resistances around the world being formed against these people. There is an understanding that criminal Zionism and international Zionist criminal Jews who come from the Ashkenazi Khazarian group are behind the French, British, German, Italian, and Spanish governments, as well as the American and Canadian and Australian. And if you look at any of the leadership and any of the administrations in any of the countries I just mentioned, you will find Ashkenazi Zionist Jews involved in their administration. So, but little by little, people are starting to, and the percentages I would say are around, in the single digits. But to be able to claim that kind of penetration is amazing, because you wouldn't have an audience of a small theater 20 years ago, and today it's in the hundreds of thousands of people who are aware of the truth, probably higher than that even. Now the big secret is to how to parlay that into a wider understanding. Well, I think the best way to do it, ladies and gentlemen, and I really think that this is something we all need to do. First of all, we all need to start thinking as though these people's crimes are understood by others, because I think viscerally human beings understand that what they've been sold is lies. I think most people that have spent any time trying to be aware of events in the world have known that Israel and the people that set Israel up, the Rothschild family and going all the way back to Herzl and before, these criminal Zionist bankers, were behind the ills and the deceptions in the world. And everyone has known. I said this before on the French Connection. You know, I always thought to myself, how did this vomitous little nation in on the Mediterranean, with 4 million cretinous human beings living there who murder, rape, and pillage a native population so blatantly, get in the headlines every single day, every day, every day. 4 million. That's half the population of Massachusetts. Or the size of, the greater San Diego area, ladies and gentlemen. You don't see San Diego on the front page of every newspaper in the world every day, do you? You don't see them committing genocide, do you? You don't see them attacking foreign ships and murdering the sailors and murdering prisoners of war. You don't see San Diegans doing any of those things. But you see these criminals from Israel doing this as a matter of course. Now, the Israelis involved in this stuff, I think, know is deep down inside that they are supporting a criminal group. You can't see all this horror and do all these terrible things to people who are without ability to fight back. I mean, they're just murdering them wholesale and saying, oh, well, they shot a couple of rockets at me, so let's kill this whole neighborhood. Let's bulldoze it. Let's destroy their food supply. Let's cut off their medical stuff. Let's shut their water down. Let's destroy their schools. How do you rationalize that? That's incredibly psychopathic, in my view. So the Israelis have to know, and this is why I call the entire nation of Israel and its entire Jewish population vomitous humans, because they have to know deep in their stomachs that what they're doing is a criminal act against the world. And then we get over here to the United States and how struck by the lack of knowledge that these Israelis are, what they're doing over there to these Palestinians, and what they've been doing to the rest of the world with lies like Abu Nidal killing people and doing it for the Mossad, or the Levant affair, or the USS Liberty, or all of these, the Entebbe raid, or all these false flag things that they've done over time, and how clueless the American public is, and how unbelievably easily that this APEC has taken over the nation. It's just astonishing how easy it was to lie America into being a goon for 4 million crooks living in this dirt hole in the center of the Mediterranean region. It astonishes me, and I wonder sometimes if people know and have known and just are too mentally lazy to stand up and start announcing what they see, start sharing it. The people are basically not courageous, and this is something that I've had to come to grips with. Erica and I have talked about this frequently, almost every day. The lack of courage that most people, not just Americans, but Europeans as well, display in their day-to-day lives. And everybody's like, oh, no, it's not me. It wasn't me. Don't blame me. I don't want to. No, me, not me. Oh, I have no. It's amazing. They'll run from responsibility of taking responsibility for their actions. They don't admit when they're wrong. And they hide from facts when they're right in front of their faces. And this is not a trait that's unique to certain people. It's almost universal in the Western world. And one need wonder if it was always like that. I mean, I didn't live 100 years ago. All I can do is look at the criminal Zionist interpretation of history in most cases and try to glean what I think is the mindset of the public. And it's very difficult to see whether people were as lost and unaware as they are today, by and large, or is this a phenomenon that has really come about since the television era? I don't know. But I certainly know that university quality education is a farce, and it wasn't 40 years ago. If you got a 4-year degree from a quality school 40, 50 years ago, you received one in-depth qualitative education. But today, grade inflation, they call it, or, you know, passing people on just for the paycheck and the money at some schools, you know, as long as you paid your tuition and showed up for your classes, that was a guarantee that you would get to the next level. They do this in the public schools today, where they pass people on and give them high school diplomas, and many of them are functionally illiterate. And I think that promoting this level of imbecilic educational acquisition, if you will, or allow me, has been done to us intentionally so that we would not have the capacity to see facts and truth when it was presented to us. And then I think there is a chemical component to all this as well. With, of course, aspartame and then fluoride and, of course, some of the dietary habits that have been adopted by Western peoples has also destroyed, I think, qualitative thinking abilities. And it's, you know, people today are, I think, are shells of human beings of the past. Now, of course, there is a lot more out there to learn, and it's much more difficult to become an expert at something because the base of knowledge is so large. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, I think taking pride in one's accomplishments as far as education and whatnot, knowing facts about things rather than hearsay, I think we're losing that. I think we've probably lost it. Especially in the history area. I mean, we just live from one lie to the next. It's just amazing to me. So here we are. We're on the cusp of a new month here with July just starting. We've got America really finding itself in a terrible mess financially, with many banks around the world beginning to ring the alarm bells. And the dollar poised to fall below the 80 point on the basket of currencies. Now, I've said this before on the French Connection. If it falls below that 80 point, not if, when it does, it will ultimately fall below it. There are no support points below that. That is to say, when it goes to 80 and then starts falling below it and closes below that 80 point on a basket of currencies, that is the sign for money traders around the world and for hedge fund operators and for derivatives investors and central banks alike and alike to run from the dollar like you were trying to get out of away from a speeding car or a raging herd of buffalo or something, jumping out of the way and running for exits. And I believe that moment in history is upon us now. And I think it's this summer we're going to see events that are being orchestrated. They're already pulling out the Al-Qaeda card over here in France, saying that Al-Qaeda might be planting bombs in cities, and they found a homemade bomb in a car in Marseille, and they all this stuff, and they're trying to put together a lie network of events here that will allow this summer's activities to take place, because if they don't act now, I think they don't implode the country's liberties completely, I think that they're done for quicker than they think. They may not be able to survive the facts that we've put out there to start with. I think that the French Connection and other places like Carol Valentine and JewishRacism.com and some of the sites that have been doing quality research and investigation are now everywhere in the world. You'll find CDs of these files. You'll find hard copies of these things being circulated far and wide, from country to country, from family to family member, and you can't extinguish the facts as they come out. And I think with Israel ramping up another attack in the Middle East, people are going to come to understand just how vile that place really is. I think many people already know that, but it's going to become even clearer to them. And so we are on the side of right, and we are going with the flow of history, and because of those two facts, I believe ultimately we are going to be the winner in this fight. And of course, winning is everything when it comes to freedom. But I think it's going to be a rocky road between now and then, and they still hold the levers of power. It's still a Judge Reibman who tried to jail Bolin, and it's still a Rahm Emanuel running the Democrat Party, and it's still a Melman over there running and it's still Jack Straw, a Zionist Jew, being reinvited into the British government, and we still have Mr. Sarkozy coming from the Ashkenazi camp, and so forth. So we've got the criminal players moving strongly against us. But history is going to prove us to be successful in stopping them. Now, I wanted to bring up a guy named Alan Watt. Alan Watt, the other day, I heard his spewing of his nonsense on Alex Jones, his fear-mongering, his blaming of Plato for our present situation, his nonsensical rant of taking disparate parts of history and weaving them together into what seems like, on the surface, a very well-thought-out thesis. Of course, it does not tie into any of the Zionist Jewish history. He would not talk about the protocols. Maybe he has in the past, but he wouldn't. But I was struck by the similarity between him and this guy, Jordan Maxwell, and then this other guy named Ralph Schoenman. The three of these people seem to have gone to the same school of nonsense and deception. And of course, no surprise to me that Alex Jones would put him up front and center, trying to substantiate the same lugubrious nonsense that was just being spewed by Alex about this and that. Now, what we do know, ladies and gentlemen, is that Freemasonry was invented by the Zionist community as a means of keeping control of their lieutenants in their conspiracy. And they have also spawned many other organizations. The New Bohemians came out of that group, and they spawned banking webs across the world and got involved in politics and got involved in philanthropy, such as the, you know, the Shriners and everything. I mean, you take a look at this stuff and they've worked very diligently at putting together a structured system. But that's all been described for you clearly in the protocols of the Elders of Zion. And, but that's not what Mr. Watt tells you. He tells you that these guys go back to Egypt and that, Plato was part of the flow of this conspiracy and blah, 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 blah. And what came out of it also was that it's hopeless to fight them. That's what I got out of his nonsensical crap. The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, they are a defeatable group. They are being defeated as we speak. And the truth of the matter is that they're not as large in number as one might think. They have large numbers of useful idiots. But again, the key to that statement is idiots. And I think these idiots, once educated, will begin to run from the support of this group. Many of the people doing the stuff for these criminals are not even aware of the group that they work for. They go through the motions, and many of them get a paycheck, and some of them rationalize their actions away. You know, the very cream of the crop crook of this whole mess is very small in number. And we have done a great job of identifying a whole lot of them, the Brothmans of the world, the Crown families, the Walper family, the Brookses, they're all there for you. The Lowys and the Lauder family and the Honig family and so forth and so on. We can go on for a long time here. The Levys in Britain and Howards in Australia. We go on. But all of that being said, what's the next stage to this fight? Well, first of all, begin to identify Zionists in your local community. Names, addresses, people, everything. Identify them and understand that at some point we will need to take a citizen's action against them in a form of an arrest. They need to be arrested and brought to justice and investigated for the crimes they've been committing. One of them is their association to World Zionism and how instrumental were they in perpetrating Zionist crimes against the United States. But above and beyond that, we need to prepare ourselves mentally, emotionally, and if we can, with foods and with supplies and with things of that nature. And we need to start allowing ourselves a little bit of leeway in our food supplies. And in other words, we can't live from week to week by going shopping because there may not be a grocery shelf full of food in the next 6-8 months. And what you need to do is make sure that you are able to have a reserve position to fall back on, because if you're scraping for pieces of grain out in the street with the rest of the nut jobs, you're not going to be able to take political action to save the country and the world. So these are important things to do immediately. On the other side of it all, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned to the French Connection. Keep us in mind when you are making your decisions, to share this information and fight for us on the internet. When you see somebody trying to badmouth us, chime in and say you're liars and fight them with facts and say, have you ever gone and listened to any of the facts? Have you read the articles? I mean, because they only try to assassinate our character, never our research. And I mean, I read all kinds of stuff. One of the things that I have to dispel right now is that I speak perfect French. I don't. I speak fluent French. But to be a young man or young child and learn French, and you would be able to learn to speak it fluently and perfectly. But to do that as an adult, which was my case after I met my wife, it's impossible to have perfect diction and perfect level in French because this is a very difficult language to learn perfectly. However, I do speak it fluently, and so I'm clearing that up. And the other thing is I read some of the most nonsensical things about myself. You guys got to tune in over there to wake up from your slumber and just read some stuff that they write about me. In fact, the best way to find out who the bad guys are is to go read what they're saying I'm doing, because what it does basically is exposes the idiots writing it as being bad guys. And so that's why I urge you to go over there and read that. So then you know who these people are when they post things. You'll know right away. You'll say, oh, I recognize that idiot. or you'll recognize a writing style. Like I recognize one of the people out there trying to knock me as being Scott Mutt-Kakar over there. He's writing stuff against us, and he's using pseudonyms to do it. And of course, he's coming from the Piper Brigade over there at American False Press, the Zionist lie factory that doesn't want you to know that they're involved up to their eyeballs in Southern Poverty Law and the rest of it. But anyway, all that being said, I hope today was a good rambling rant for you. Again, put your best wishes out there into the ether for Christopher and his family. And until the next time, we will have a guest on the next show, I believe. So stay tuned for more information from the French Connection. Until then, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you to be well. Bye-bye now.
I got a ticket to the Fast City where the bells don't really ring. Getting off the plane, the cold air rushes like bullets through my brains. And I'm divided between penguins and cats. It's not about what animal you've got. It's about being able to fly. It's about dying nine times. Going up to the falls where the old man I used to know. The paintings on the walls of Release are colorful, but they are on the TV. And I'm divided between penguins and cats, but it's not about. Fly.